In 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, February 24th, 2008. It is now 8:01 p.m. Central Standard Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now on to our program. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. Our number again is 646-652-4620. Folks, we have 5 open lines at Sunday evening. Let me hear from you. comments@libertytalkradio.com in case you'd like to send us an email. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, my2centsonline.com, my2centsonline.com, and that 2 is a numeric 2. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. It's critical these very, very shaky financial times that you become educated as to what really is going on. Andy speaks in plain English, makes complex financial issues understandable. He's helped me tremendously. He can help you tremendously as well. You can also subscribe to his newsletter that runs only about $39 or $49 a year, and it can give you some helpful hints and some personal financial advice as well. Well, good evening, everyone. This evening, I'd like to first read to you from the Information Clearinghouse newsletter. And I do recommend that you subscribe to this. It's an online service. And do send them a small contribution. They're not asking for much, but they do a lot of work in compiling all the important news that's worth reading. I use it every single day. And much of what I get from my broadcast is really from the Information Clearinghouse. Please subscribe and do support them with a small financial contribution. Here are 2 quotes from Dresden James, and I don't know who Dresden James is. I'll be very honest with you, but he says the ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. Listen to that carefully. The ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. And he says, we have met the enemy. It is us. The most perfect slaves are therefore those which blissfully and unawarely enslave themselves. And this is what I say at the end of my broadcast, though. Don't I mention? I said you are either striving to protect your liberty or you are allowing it to be taken away. That's basically what he's saying in much more eloquent terms, by the way. And he goes on to say, when a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic. Folks, that is the Libertarian Party today. People who are in the Libertarian Party are looked upon as kooks, even to the extent of being called raving lunatics. And yet, all the libertarians are saying is that we should abide by our Constitution. Isn't that preposterous? That's exactly what we are doing, folks. Ask people today about our Constitution. I'll bet very, very few have ever read one word of our Constitution. Very few people understand how this country was formed, why it was formed, what the basis for our policies were, what the basis for the Constitution was, what the basis for the Declaration of Independence was, and that the Constitution is a very cleverly worded document to protect the individual. And when I say the individual, that means you and me, not somebody else, not somebody that the government has appointed, meaning you and me, everyone from the janitor to the superintendent to the corporate executive to the lawyer to the factory worker to the doctor, lawyer, and Indian chief. It makes no difference. Everyone who is a resident here of the United States is protected by our Constitution. And yet, when we have these debates going on, it seems that during the debates, the candidates actually decimate the Constitution in front of our eyes, and we applaud them. Folks, we have such a problem in this country, and as Dresden James says, you know, we have found the enemy. It is us. Therefore, those which blissfully and unawarely enslave themselves. We have enslaved ourselves into a form of government, or modified our government to a form that renders us all slaves. When you think about the Federal Reserve, and when the Federal Reserve was first approved, and the Federal Reserve system was enacted, that made slaves of every single one of the citizens, because now we have to pay the debt of which the Federal Reserve creates. And now a good portion of our federal debt is the interest created by the Federal Reserve. And so now we work to pay the money to the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation. We are slaves, folks, to the Federal Reserve. And now, if you think that I'm one of those raving lunatics, please do your homework. Look it up. Look up how the Federal Reserve works. Find out how money is made, how the interest is paid, and come to your own conclusions. Every single person in government that has tried to do away with the Federal Reserve perished very quickly. You don't fool around with these people. We have lost the freedoms of our Constitution. We do not even have control of our own currency. We have Federal Reserve notes printed by a private organization that is owned by the big money families of the world, the Warburgs, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, and they sell the money to the United States, and then we have to pay interest on that, and it is created out of debt. It is amazing. Our system is amazing. And what we are experiencing now with the subprime crisis, you know, with worldwide financial crisis, is all stems from the type of monetary system that we have established. And it's going to collapse. It cannot sustain itself. See, I'm a raving lunatic. See, I'm a libertarian and a raving lunatic. Folks, I have a problem in that, like in Lee Iacocca's new book, he says, where is the outrage? Where is the outrage? As Americans, we should be protesting. We are, to be a true patriot, you have to be a revolutionary. We now have a government that's more suppressive than the government of England was on the colonies. Where's the outrage? Why are people angry? Why are people applauding candidates, presidential candidates, who are prescribing more government regulation, bigger government, and more government handouts? Why don't we say to them, hey, it has never worked, it never will work, we don't want more of it, and we want you to stop taking our money and wasting it on these bureaucratic efforts to make you look good? Where is our outrage? Well, there is none, folks. And that's the problem. Because without the outrage, we will continue down the slippery slope to socialism. Pure socialism, controlled by people who are not even citizens of the United States. Sounds far-fetched, doesn't it? Well, let's take the presidential debates. I want to talk a little bit about that. We have Hillary Clinton and we have Barack Obama. And the one comment that's been made regarding both of those candidates is the fact that there is very little difference between the two. And that's why when one gets an advantage over the other one can't get much traction to overtake the other person because it's circumstances basically beyond their control. It's an emotional thing that people are more attracted to one than the other, and the other one can't come back and say, hey guys, vote for me because what I stand for is this, this, and that, because the other person's standing for the same thing. There is very little difference. And quite frankly, it's not going to make much difference who they take into office. Now, I understand that Ralph Nader has entered the fray, and he is going to attempt to become established a candidate in all 50 states. Well, you know, he may make a big enough splash. There may be a big enough, and I think he's going to take more from the Republicans than he does from the Democrats because, you know, Barack Obama appears to the people to being the Messiah, the person who is going to turn everything around. He's the new JFK. Well, he's no JFK, I can tell you that. JFK was a conservative, and he didn't want people to rely on the government. He wanted people to be individually responsible. And then when he signed a directive, a executive order to do away with the Federal Reserve, he was shot. Now, people say that there's no proof of a direct link. Well, nothing like that happens by accident. When Lincoln decided to do away, I think it was the Second Bank of the United States, and the way they were printing the money, he was shot. And I think it was Hardy did the same thing, and he was shot. I'm just saying that you don't fool around with these people, which just shows the power that they have. And yet, Barack Obama's playing it safe, isn't he? And Hillary's playing it safe. They're not touching any of the established organizations. You know, for example, if we had to ask them a question, we have to ask them, we'd say, Hillary, Barack, we're going to give you both an opportunity to answer this question. Since the federal government has never one program has ever panned out, and you are subscribing to several other new programs, what makes your programs, what makes us believe that your programs are going to be successful when every other program on the book has not been successful? In fact, since none of them have been successful, why do you continue to fund them? And how do you prove that they've been successful if you disagree with me? And how much is it costing the trillions of dollars that it costs the taxpayer? What have we received in return? We don't ask questions like that. We ask one candidate a question about what the other candidate said and what they thought that they may have meant by it. I mean, it's stupid garbage. It's all, you know, it's noise. It's just garbage and noise. And yet we'll never ask the hard questions. We won't ask questions about our military. Can you imagine asking Hillary? Hillary, you've been in office. You've been in Senate. Barack, you've been in the Senate. We have a military bases all over the world. Some have the count in the hundreds of military bases around the world. Why are we the only country with military bases around the world? And why is it costing us over $1 trillion, most of that which is not even booked the way we should be booking the expenses, so it's a hidden expense? And many of these military bases are in countries that are propping up dictators that suppress their own people. Why do you continue that? How many bases have you closed? Why don't we bring our boys home? Why don't we have enough people here in the United States defending our own shores? Why do we have to have them defending shores someplace else? Is it necessary that we have bases in 3/4 of the country around the world? Is that necessary for our protection? 3/4 of the nations around the world need our bases and our military so we can be secure? How do you justify that specifically? And with that, when there was an attack on the World Trade Center on September 11th, we had no military to defend ourselves. How do you defend that? How do you justify that? We don't ask those questions. We ask stupid questions. Now, the media is not stupid. Don't think for a moment that the media does not know what questions to ask. They know exactly what questions to ask. And don't think that the politicians are stupid or ignorant. They're not. They know exactly what questions should be asked and exactly how to answer those questions. Now, they may make absolutely no sense to us, but they make all the sense in the world to themselves, and it makes all the sense in the world to the people out there who are not thinking. The average American thinks they're actually receiving an answer. And then when they take the polls, they say, well, it appears that Barack is a little bit firmer in this area, and it seems that he has a more compassionate, I mean, all this, like we're psychoanalyzing the guys. We psychoanalyze the candidates instead of saying, how do they comply with the Constitution? We are afraid to ask them those questions. Now, whether or not you're a brilliant orator or not, and let's be honest, I think as far as oratory skills are concerned, probably Barack Obama has it over all of them. The one that probably had some of the least oratory skills was the candidate that I was endorsing, and that was Ron Paul. I still am endorsing Ron Paul. And why don't we ask this question? Here's a good one. This is the one that I like, you know. You keep on talking about Barack and Hillary, about fairness and equality in the United States, and it's not fair that the elite are given advantages, tax-wise or any otherwise, are not given the advantage over the average person. Then I have this question for you. Why is it that every time there's a debate, you and Barack are in the center stage, and you two monopolize the conversation? Why haven't you spoken up for the underdog? Why haven't you said, why, whomever, the Brit Hume or whomever is asking the question, why is it that you've asked me 8 questions so far, and Mike Gravel at the corner here, and he's placed in the corner, why hasn't he been asked any of these questions, and why isn't he given equal participation, an opportunity for equal participation? Why are you prejudicing the others for my benefit? Why don't they say that if they're truly interested in fairness? When they line the candidates up, why don't they line them up in alphabetical order? Or why don't they just pull straws? Fair way. Everybody gets there, their straws, and they pick a number. And they all pick a number, and whatever number you get, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then that's where you stand on the podium and behind the lectern. Hillary gets lectern number 2, and sometimes she'll be in the center stage, and sometimes it'll be Mike Gravel would be in the second center stage, or whomever else is running, or Richardson, or whomever it is. But yet they talk about equality and fairness, and they're going to make things fair, except when it comes to them. When it comes to them, screw everybody. I want center stage. I want to answer all the questions. To hell with everybody else. Well, who do they think they are, and where is our outrage? Where is our outrage that we have to put up with this and look at those two at the center stage every time there's a debate? And where is the outrage by the media saying that, why the heck, moderator, did you ask Hillary Clinton all the questions and Barack Obama all the questions? Why didn't you ask the other ones any questions? During the Republican debate one time, I waited, I think it was 35 minutes before Ron Paul was even invited to ask a question. And one time when he tried to answer a question, they said, you wait, sir, we'll get back to you later. Well, they got back to him later, almost towards the end of the debate. Where is the outrage? Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host this evening. Call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. I do not understand why we are not outraged, why we are not protesting, why we are not screaming, why we are not boycotting these stations altogether, why we are taking our TV sets and rolling them down the street into the ravine or putting them on a garbage heap. And said, I've had enough. I'm not going to take it anymore. When will that occur? I'll tell you when it's going to occur, folks. When it's too damn late. America will not wake up because America is not asleep. America is in a coma. Lulled into this coma by promises from politicians who can actually deliver nothing but enslavement of its people. And then we vote for them. Hillary, Barack, where's your sense of fairness? Why aren't you saying, no, I'm not standing on center stage? I'm going to give that to somebody else. This is not fair. No, but they stand on center stage every time, and then they say, we want to level the playing field. Well, why don't you start with the debates? Why don't you start with everything else? Now, quite frankly, I think the person who's going to win the presidential election is going to be Barack Obama. I don't think McCain has a chance. My God, McCain looks like a corpse. Damn, we don't need another corpse. We don't need a corpse in there. A corpse who likes to fight wars. Gosh darn it, where are we? And I think Hillary's got so many enemies, it's pathetic. She has a strong following, but she has a much stronger wave of discontent behind her. And the only one that stands a chance right now is Barack Obama. I hope that they find something about McCain that's so bad that he has to get out, and then maybe the only person standing, Republican standing, would be Ron Paul. Now, if Ron Paul's the only Republican standing, I wonder if they'll give him any airtime whatsoever. Any airtime. or even ever mention his name. Where's our embarrassment? We should be embarrassed by this entire situation. We're Americans. We're patriots. We're revolutionaries. We're not pansies. We're not sheep. And yet we make these politicians, we let these politicians, rather, lead us into this lull of complacency. Let's not be complacent. Let's ask another few questions. Let's see what other questions I would ask her. Let me see. I wrote a few down here. For example, why do you continue FEMA? FEMA's been a failure in every single operation. It costs billions of dollars to keep the place going, and they can't do anything right. And then when everything fails, nobody gets fired. Why is it that in government, Barack and Hillary, why is it in government when there's utter failure, no one gets fired? They get transferred and promoted. Now, you have been in the Senate. You have control over this. You can bring legislation up. You can say, these people should be fired. This department. How many departments have been discontinued under your watch? And I don't mean phased out and then melded into another department where you're increasing the number of people overall. I would ask that question. How about how are you reducing the shackles of slavery? Are you reducing taxes? Are you eliminating a lot of the restrictions and regulations? Or are you increasing our imprisonment on this planet by enacting more legislation for our own protection while increasing the size of government? How could you justify the size of government today? And you've been part of it. Why haven't you eliminated? Why isn't government only 2% or maximum of 5% of the general population? Why is it near 40 or 50%? Eventually, are we all going to be working for the federal government? Is that what you're waiting for? This is the question I would ask. And how about our Constitution? How do all of the programs that you subscribe to adhere to our Constitution, the very constitutional privileges, principles of individual freedom and individual responsibility? And I have another question for those clowns. How much do you make a year? Do you pay in Social Security? And if you decided not to run for a second term, how much would you get for the rest of your life? Why would you take all that money? Do you think that's fair? And where is that money coming from? Is the money coming from the taxpayer? No, we don't ask any of those questions. We ask, is Barack Obama black enough? Jesus, I mean, I cannot believe how ignorant we are. I cannot believe that we accept this trash as questions. I can't believe that we accept the responses from these candidates that they know and we know are not sincere. So we're looking for the one that appears a little bit more sincere than the other, and that's the person I'll vote for. And just the other day, someone said, well, who are you going to vote for? I said, no one. I don't want to be part of the process. And they said, well, it's your obligation to vote. I said, I'm a revolutionary. It's my obligation to revolt, and that's what I'm doing. I said, the only people that I have to vote for, I'm going to choose, looks like it's going to be either Hillary, Barack, against probably McCain. The three of those have absolutely no qualification to be president. So am I to vote for the lesser of two evils? Meaning when evil gets in office, I am to blame? I don't think so. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio, your host, Joe Cristiano, speaking, 646-652-4620. We have 5 open lines. I'd love for someone to call in and give me at least an argument, or tell me I'm absolutely right. Make me feel good. Say something. I know there are listeners out there. Please call in, 646-652-4620. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Okay, we've chopped off a half hour so far. We have about another half hour to go. I was hoping to get in some more calls, and I have many questions that I would ask the candidates, but I certainly would like to hear what questions you would ask the candidates. And do you think when they have the people call in on like YouTube and stuff like that on these debates, you think those questions... In fact, I thought the questions were lame, absolutely lame. It's amazing the ignorance of the American public. I just find it amazing when you, if you really think about it, how ignorant we are. And yet, we take that and we base our statistics on the types of questions that are asked, as dumb as they may be, as inane as they may be, and then we say, well, so many people ask this question, so many people ask that type of question, and we come up with some conclusion. It's ridiculous. Anyway, 646-652-4620. How about we ask the candidates, who is the powerful money? Who constitutes the powerful money behind your campaign? Embarrass the hell out of them. It's not the average American voter. We know that. Who is it? Can you name them? Is it the bankers? Who's the one really calling the shot? Are you really saying what you... Do you really... Are you saying what you really believe? And prove that to us. They couldn't do that. How many lobbyers, you know, are there, you know, for these people? Have they tried to do away with that? You know, these are all the these are more pertinent questions than what we're asking. The income tax. Here's one. Why don't we ask, the income tax is an unconstitutional tax on the people. Why haven't you done away with it? That'll get them. The income tax is unconstitutional. There are many people who don't pay the income tax, and the government can't do anything about it because it's never been ratified by the states. And it's unconstitutional according to our Constitution. It's illegal. But they needed the income tax in order to pay the interest on the debt to the owners of the Federal Reserve. We are slaves to them. And why don't we ask, how about the subprime mortgage situation? How did that come about? Is that just because all of a sudden people showed up who were stupid, didn't know any better, try to get loans? Why is it that 15 years ago or 20 years ago, you had to have 20% down? And you had to have good credit in order to get a mortgage on a house. And now they start giving mortgages to anyone. What happened? What changed? The banks were responsible for that money at first. And now the banks weren't responsible for that money. Why? What did the government do, or what did the government regulations allow that allowed the banks to profit by that at the expense of everyone else? And by the way, while we are talking about the subprime crisis that we have on hand, you talk about freezing the mortgages. many of these mortgages are held by people overseas. They have a contract that says that they will get paid in so many days, in so many increments. You are violating their rights under contract law by changing unilaterally the terms of that contract. You have no right to do that. Constitutionally, how do you do that? And how do you justify that? And by the way, most of the people who have these subprime mortgages are not going to lose the house and they're not going to be homeless. How do you figure they're going to be homeless? If they are thrown out of the house, they're going to be homeless? No. They're going to get an apartment. Most of these people not only got loans for the amount of the mortgage, but for the amount of the mortgage, plus they got free cash in their pockets. Then they paid interest only, which means they were paying practically nothing to stay in a beautiful house for a couple of years. They had nothing to lose because they have no vested interest house. They had no money down. So it was like paying cheap rent and they lived in a nice place. It was like being on vacation for a couple of years. And now the vacation's over and they have to go back to their apartment. Are you really protecting them or are you protecting the bank and the financial system at the expense of the taxpayer? Now, that would be a legitimate question. Let's get down to the real meat of the problem. But no, we want to talk about platitudes and how we can make change. And why do we need change? Don't we need dissolution of most of the crap that we've had already? And how can we have change? Because you people have already been in office. If you've already been in office, there can't be no change. Because it means no change. We have to change you. How do you propose that you're going to change? Are you telling me that you were one person when you were in office, but now when you're president, you're going to be another person? Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm Joe Cristiano. Call 646-652-4620. Please call in. We've got 5 open lines. It's a Sunday evening, and it's a good time to call in and argue with me. I'm waiting for someone to call. Please, I know there are people out there listening. Please, give me a call. You know, why don't we ask this question of these people, these candidates? If when we file our tax return, if we misrepresent something, and let's assume we intentionally misrepresent something because we want to save a little bit on taxes because we feel we're being overburdened in taxes, the government finds out, right? We can go to federal penitentiary, right? All right, understood. Now, the government misrepresents what they owe. They don't book things as they should book things. They have their own accounting system. And then if you ask the government, remember, it's a government of, for, and by the people, you know, show me the books on this expenditure. The government tells you, go to hell, drop dead, back off, or we'll really give you trouble. In other words, where's the outrage there? Why aren't they talking about that? Why aren't the candidates talking about the unfairness? How we have a double standard. We have a standard for the citizens, which has to be adhered to the letter of the law, and we have a government gone amok doing whatever they want with the citizens' money. Why isn't there an outrage there? Why don't we ask Hillary that question? And I'd ask Hillary, you know, women were given the right to vote, and they thought now that women, you know, had the right to vote, there would be no more wars. Now, you being a woman, you voted for the war in Iraq. How does that square with women's suffrage? I would ask her that question. You even voted for the continuation of the war. And then you say you want to talk your way out of it? How are you going to do that? Do the oil interest and the money behind the oil interest, don't they have more influence on that decision than you will? That's the question I would ask her. But no, we ask her all these silly questions about how she felt about this and how she felt about that. and universal health care. They look towards Canada. Now, do you ever ask, let's ask the question of Hillary and Barack and say, well, you're trying to emulate more of what the healthcare system, universal healthcare system of Canada. If that is the case, how can we justify that when the Canadian people are taxed so heavily and yet, for all intents and purposes, they have no military? The United States has the largest military budget in the world, larger than all other countries combined. Listen to this. There are 193 nations in this world, and our military budget is larger than all the other 192 combined. And that's one reason why our taxes are so high. On a relative basis, Canada has no military budget relative to ours. It's infinitesimal. And yet, they're taxed very, very high. Now, if we had universal health care, wouldn't we be taxed proportionally as high as Canada? And is Canada in the black or in the red with their health care? Well, we know now that Canada is not only in the red in their health care, but they cannot sustain it any longer. And they're looking for industry to bail, to take over health care, and they want to transfer it to the private sector because it's not working. And if someone needs an operation and it's desperate, if they need a valve fixed in their heart, you know, they run over to the United States. Why don't we ask those questions? Why don't we ask what portion of our taxes is a military budget, and why is our military budget larger than the entire rest of the world? In other words, one nation is larger than the military budget of 192. Isn't that slightly out of proportion? Aren't we the paranoid people? Why don't we ask about, why do we give $3 billion to Israel that's a theocracy? Not a democracy, but a theocracy. Something that our forefathers never intended to do. And all it does is create agitation. And as a result of the agitation, we get things like airplanes crashing into buildings. And what about the 9/11 Commission report? Now, that's come under tremendous fire as being totally slanted and approved by the White House before it's published. Where's our outrage there? Hillary, Barack, would you reinitiate an investigation 9/11? How many people? This is the biggest farce ever placed. I mean, one of America's biggest failures. Why did it take an hour and 35 minutes for one jet to get up to the air when four planes were flying around the eastern seaboard willy-nilly? You know, there are millions of questions that we can ask, and they're all embarrassing. The fact is that, you see, Barack and Hillary and John McCain have no answers to any of these questions. If they answered these questions truthfully, they would have to resign. They would have to withdraw from the race for presidency. And that they won't do. So that leaves us to listen to them. Now, Liberty Talk Radio is commercial free because I pay all the expenses with the assistance of my wonderful wife. And she is a sweetheart. So I can say what I want to say, and I do this because it has to be said. I am looking for the time when people no longer, well, I shouldn't say that, because most people are just absolutely numb. they have been absolutely brainwashed that this, that when you listen to the news on the network news or cable news, you're actually getting news and the correct information and what you really need to know. Most of the people are just, they would never believe that they're not doing that. They don't want to. They're too lazy. There is a media outfit being formed that wants to be independent of all the other news media and be totally impartial. And I have sent my resume to them as I want to be part of that. And I hope Liberty Talk Radio is part of this new media conglomerate. They're going to start off on the internet and hopefully have a very, very big, big presence. They're going to be a lot of money behind it. They're going to have investors, all of a sudden. They're doing it right. It's sort of like the way CNN was when it first started with cable. They want to start something really big on the internet, real news. And of course it'll start small, but they're going to start small, they're going to minimize their expenses, and they're going to have only the best of the best and those people who are qualified to have radio stations and journalists and whatever. But not from a biased point of view. From an unbiased point of view. You know, in a way, I'm kind of excited about Ralph Nader and his entry into the race. Now, let me tell you what the way I feel about Ralph Nader. I usually don't talk about feelings, but I'll tell you about my feelings about Ralph Nader. I like him very much. I don't agree with him, but I like him very much. Now, I don't have to agree with someone's conclusions on how problems have to be fixed to think that they're a good person. He is a good person. I heard him speak one time for quite length. On television. There were no prompters. There was no speeches. There was nothing. He spoke from the heart. He said, this is what we need to do. This is what I really feel the problem is. And this is the way, you know, I would try to solve those problems. Now, I agreed mostly what the problems were. I was in concert with him there. I was not at all in concert with the way he wanted to solve the problems. But I have to give him credit that he is speaking speaking earnestly, and he's speaking independently, and you can tell. And you know, I learned today he is 74 years old now. He is older than John McCain. I cannot believe that. Well, I hope he enters the race, and I hope he makes a big splash. Although I don't agree with his solutions, I hope he makes a big splash. Because if Ron Paul doesn't make it, and one of the Libertarian candidates don't make it, and by the way, remember I interviewed last week Wayne Allen Root, and go to his website, Root for America, and he feels that if Ron Paul doesn't make it, he wants to start where Ron Paul left off, and he wants to carry on the banner for Ron Paul. He is very, very well-spoken. He is probably more charismatic than Ron Paul is, depending on your point of view. And he has quite a backing. He has name recognition. He's already been on Larry King and CNN and CNBC and all those stations. He's been a very, very successful man. And I think he will make a dent. But it would be nice to see these people come to some sort of prominence in this race. I mean, we've got to be. I mean, even the Hillary and the Barack fans have got to get tired of the same old crap. Don't they ever in their own mind say, but they don't say anything. There's no difference between the two. And it's just a matter of, you know, who's going to goof up first. You know, and how bad is it going to be? But I'd love to see more people enter the fray. And especially Ralph Nader. I think he'll make it very interesting. And they asked him, well, don't you think that you'll take, you know, votes away from one of the candidates and then allow the other candidate to lose? And he says he takes votes from no one. If that candidate cannot hold on to supporters for what they say, that's their problem, not mine. And he was absolutely correct. I was really proud of him when he said that. didn't say those exact words. That's basically what he said. So I think it's going to be very, very, very interesting what he does and what he has to say. I'm interested to hear what he has to say, because at least I know he's speaking from his heart what he means, and he would do it. Of course, politically, he has no clout, which is fine. He'll have to surround himself with those people who can get the job done in the manner in which he prescribes, which I think is a good idea. I mean, he's got to be a vast improvement over the three clowns that we have now running. You know, Barack, Hillary, and John McCain. You know, McCain, Jesus, I don't know where he comes from. I mean, I don't know how he has any supporters. He's, like I said, he's a walking corpse. And he sounds horrible. He comes across disingenuous. His policies are horrible. He's been in Washington for 1,000 years, and he's been part of all of this mess that we have. And they're going to vote for him. And Hillary and Barack, they both want change. There's no change. There's more government regulation against more, on top of more government. It's more the same crap, folks. You know, but the people who are listening to this program really are not the Hillary or Barack supporters. They think that they are wonderful. They can walk on water and they're going to do something for America. They're going to supply America with universal health care. And level the playing field and make the rich pay their just due. You know, the rich may have to pay their just due, but I'll tell you, Barack and Hillary will never do that. They'll always find ways around that. There'll always be a loophole, because the people who are making the decisions on that are the powerful people in Washington. And they're not going to vote against themselves. Don't think for a second that'll ever happen. So let's look at Ron Paul. Let's continue to support Ron Paul. If Ron Paul doesn't make it, let's look at the likes of, we have several libertarian candidates. We still have Christine Smith, and we have Steve Cubby. And these are all legitimate, I think, qualified people that would make a tremendous change for America, including Wayne Allyn Root. And I think Wayne Allyn Root has a good chance, has a better chance only because of his name recognition. We have to be a little bit realistic. He probably is not as libertarian. I mean, some people are libertarian to the nth degree. Wayne Allyn Root is a libertarian, but he's also pragmatist. So, you know, he may come across a little bit more palatable to most people who don't have no concept of what libertarianism is. I sure wish that they would give some more press to Ron Paul. I'm still angry with NPR radio. Twice people called in and said, oh, geez, now that Romney's out of the race and it's only McCain and I don't agree with him, I don't have a Republican to vote for. And do they never say, well, what about Ron Paul? They never will even mention his name. I don't support NPR radio anymore because of that. They want my money. They better explain to me why they do not mention Ron Paul's name. Now, they may mention his name if something comes across that news, they consider newsworthy, that's a negative. They mention his name. But other than that, they will not do that. Folks, we only have about 5 more minutes. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm Joe Cristiano, your host this evening. Our number is 646-652-4620. If you want to call in, even though we only have 5 more minutes on the air, you can call in and say hello. We'll send you a coffee cup. Okay? How about that? The next person who calls in will get a free Liberty Talk Radio coffee cup. I know you can use one, because when you drink your coffee in the morning, or you can put tea in it if you'd like, it should say libertytalkradio.com on there. Okay? One call, and you'll get a coffee cup. I promise you, free of charge. I'll even pay for the shipping. Still no calls. I guess people just don't want to dial in today. I wonder if there's something going on TV that I don't know about. Maybe there's a debate going on that I don't know about or something like that. But usually get a few calls here on Sunday evening. Today's a very, very quiet evening. Well, our next broadcast is going to be Thursday, morning, September 28th at 6:30 a.m., 6:30 to 7. It's going to be a half-hour broadcast that evening. Yes, that's right. Yeah, well, that'll be that morning, Thursday morning. And then next Sunday, I will not be on the air. Next Sunday, I will not be on the air. I will be en route from a trip. So I will be broadcasting on probably Monday morning rather than Sunday. And so I'll have to make the determination as to what the subject will be and exactly what time. I don't know what it'll be, but our next broadcast will be 5:30. If you notice, we have a new, what they call a bumper song. And this one's kind of pretty. And I'm going to play that at the end, too. I don't know how it's going to work out. We're going to see how it sounds like. And if it sounds good, we'll probably expand it a little bit more. It's kind of short right now, so we're experimenting with it. So, you know, I sort of like the other one better in a way. But for some reason, we could never get the sound quality the way it should be. I do want to remind everybody to go to mytwocentsonline.com. That's my friend Andy Sutton. He's an economist, and he can easily explain to you exactly what is going on with today's economy. Folks, things are really bad out there, and it's more than just a subprime crisis. The banks are insolvent. We really have a problem. I would strongly recommend that. I'm not a financial guru or anything like that, but I would strongly recommend that you get out of any dollar-denominated assets and put it into something of value. We are losing, the dollar is losing the battle. It's going to get much worse, and when it does, it'll get so bad, only those people who have something of value will survive. Be a survivor. Please don't be a Laplom, a sheep, just a Laplosh. Is it Laplosh? I guess Laplosh speech, that just sits there and waits to be slaughtered. I mean, things are very, very, very bad. A friend of mine asked me, he said, Joe, how do you make money during bad times? I said, well, a lot of money is made bad times. And the way that's, I believe, typically done, I've never had the opportunity to do that, by the way. I'm not a trader or anything like that. But I said, I suspect what happens is that things get very, very bad. And people who are sensitive to what is going on sort of know when to hold back and in what form to keep their assets. And when things collapse, they're one of the few that have real money. And they take that real money, whatever form it takes, and they'll buy things at distressed prices. When things come back, you know, then they sell those distressed properties or products or companies or whatever, you know, and they make a fortune. So they have plenty of money so they can invest it and buy things of tremendous value for very, very little. And then they sell it when things start going well at several times the price that they paid. And that's how they make money. And I suspect that will happen here again. I probably won't do anything, you know, but I do want to make sure that my callers understand that things are very, very bad, and they're going to get worse. Bernanke, when he spoke with the Senate Senate Committee, basically said, we're all dead ducks. Basically, that was the bottom line. Okay, let me play that song for you for a second. Let's see how that plays. Here it comes. Here it is. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchaker's Audiology for their financial support. We'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, and that'll be Thursday, February 28th, stay well. Stay tuned. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Good evening.